time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for joining us here again today. This program comes to you from the Church of God at God's Acres, 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. Before Brother Dishman brings today's message to you, I'd like to ask you a serious question. Have you ever thought of the terrible tragedy that it would be to be lost? To come down to the end of life's journey and find that you have been rejected by the Lord. Friend, God gives every one of us time and opportunity to prepare for eternity. Hopefully, as today's message goes forth, you will seriously consider your eternal destiny. So many have neglected this important matter. Here now is our brother Larry Dishman to bring us another message from God's eternal word.
Thank you, brother.
What is the worst thing that could happen to a human being? Many terrible things can happen to us. And just to mention a few, I believe it'd be terrible to have to go through a divorce. Those I've counseled, I've saw their tears, and it's hurtful. I believe it'd be a terrible thing to lose a son or a daughter, and especially if they were lost, if you didn't know they were saved, especially. I hope I never have to stand in front of the casket of one of my children. I believe it'd be a terrible thing to lose a companion. Some of you have had to go through that. I've never had to go through that. It'd be a hurtful, painful thing to lose my darling wife, my sweetheart. She's so special to me. And it would be a terrible thing for your own family to turn against you. If everybody turns against you, but if your family turns against you, that'd be terrible. To lose your job all of a sudden. You were going to work Monday and they find out you've lost your job. And you don't know how you're going to make it. That'd be bad. It'd be bad to go blind, wouldn't it? Lose your eyesight. To lose the ability to speak and express yourself. Terrible things can happen to us. To lose your hearing, to have a stroke and be paralyzed, to have your legs and your arms amputated, even to break both of your arms at the same time, to have AIDS, to have an incurable disease. The doctor said, there's nothing we can do for you. To have cancer, inoperable. I tell you, there's a lot of things can happen to us. A lot of terrible things. But tonight, I'm going to talk to you about the worst thing that could happen to you. Far more reaching than any of these things. That would be to die without God. I don't know of anything worse than that. To die without God would have to be the worst thing that could happen to an individual. And I was looking over this audience, and I thought, how many here? If we all went out into eternity, how many here would be lost? Someone said, well, most everybody here professes to be saved. It's not enough to profess to be saved, to die without God. When a man dies without God, before they can get him out of the wrecked car, before they can get him out of the hospital room, he's already reached his destination. The day is coming when you, though now you say I'm healthy and well, will have to lay down at the gate of death. What will you do when death and hell comes to visit you in your sins while you're still under the curse of the law? The day that you meet God and death could be much sooner than you could think. And a miserable death lies ahead for everyone who leaves this world unprepared to meet God. Because it's not just dying without God. It's what the Bible describes as losing your precious soul. Yes, friend, Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited, though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The loss of the soul. What a terrible thing to happen to an individual. To go out of this life not knowing the Son of God as Savior. The tragedy of missing heaven. Young people, if the devil offers you a deed to the whole world for your soul, if you take him up on it, you're a bad businessman. Because within your soul, within you, my friend, within your bosom, there resides an imperishable, eternal, a never-dying soul, a treasure of incalculable value. Yes, there's a part of you, part of me, that's going to live as long as God does. And every man's soul is immortal. It can never be annihilated. The soul of man will never enter into a state of non-existence. Throughout the centuries, throughout eternity, the soul absolutely will never enter into a state of non-existence. Amen. The soul of man is of immense value. That soul within you, it's of immense value. And the old song says, to buy back a soul, what would you give in exchange? Sum up the whole within your control. If it were possible, if it were possible, would you not arrange to give up this world and save your soul? The fact of the matter is, it is possible. You can give up the world and save your soul. I've often thought about some of these old songs. They used to cause me to fear as a sinner. I used to tremble when I heard these songs in the Evening Light songbook. Shall I die without a Savior? Shall I lose my precious soul? Shall I cross death's chilly river? Shall I miss yon brighter goal? Songs like, have you any time for Jesus? You got any time for Jesus? Have you any time for Jesus? While the fleeting moments roll, is this mortal life so busy that you cannot save your soul? Is that the problem? Is your mortal life so busy? You got so much to do, but you can't save your soul. Will you sell your soul to the devil? Young people, you're going to fool around, play around, sell your soul to the devil for a few years of pleasure? Are you so foolish to let the devil keep leading you on like this, on to a lost eternity? Friend, I think about it, and this is the worst thing that can happen, to die without the Lord, die without the Savior. And that would mean you lose your soul, which also mean that you'll go to the judgment, unprepared to meet God. What could happen to a person worse than that? All the terrible things that could happen to us. There's nothing worse than going to the judgment, unprepared to meet God. It's appointed unto a man who wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Judgment day is as certain as the sun comes up in the morning. Judgment day is a future, definite, fixed event. I don't know the time of it. You don't know the time of it, but God said it's coming. God made other predictions of judgment. He made a prediction of judgment concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, and that judgment came true, just exactly like God said. He made a prediction of judgment in Noah's day, and guess what? It happened just exactly like God said. And on through the Bible, God predicted judgment, and every time, everything God said happened just exactly the way He said it. So what makes us think that somehow this is not never going to happen, that everything's going to be all right? It won't be all right if we die without God. You just absolutely, friend, cannot escape the judgment of God. When time comes, you're not going to evade this thing that I'm talking about. You're not going to avoid it. You're not going to escape it. You, my friend, will be brought to the judgment. You'll be kept there.
till your case is settled. You may not want to be there. You won't want to be there if you're without Christ, but you're going to be there. And there's nothing you can do to resist it. Sinner is still waiting the final judgment because all the scores not been added up yet. The results of your evil deeds has not yet come in. The final tabulation on all your wicked influence is still being accumulated. That's why you don't die and go right to the judgment. If you don't get saved, you're going to have 24 more hours of sin on your record against you than you have right now. I encourage you to seek the face of God. The Bible says in the book of Romans, the 2nd chapter, verse number 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Yes, friends, we daily are making a record which is registered in God's book of remembrance in heaven. And the Lord keeps a full and accurate and true record of your life. Nobody else has a record like this of your life. You couldn't keep a record like this of your life. You'd be forgetting to write some things down, but God's got a record of my life, and God's got a record of your life. Be careful of the seeds you sow. Be careful of the way you live. Be careful what you do. Be careful what you say, because God's got a book, and he's recording your deeds. Yes, friend. They tell me there's a scale that's so accurate that you could put two pieces of tissue paper the same size and the scales would balance evenly. You could take one tissue off and take a pencil and write your name, address, and telephone number and put it back on there, and it would cause the scales to no longer balance. Just the weight of the lead on the tissue paper, that's getting down to perfection. But you see, God's got some scales that's more accurate than that. See, God's got some scales, and his balances are absolutely perfect, because you see, he's not only weighing what I do, he's not only weighing what I say, and he's not only weighing what you do, he's not only weighing what you say, but he's weighing the motive by him. Actions our way. In that day, every wicked deed will be adequately punished. There must be a judgment day to straighten out accounts that's not settled here. A lot of things will never be settled in this life, but on the judgment day they will be. Everything's going to be exposed at the judgment seat of Christ. Nobody's going to hell who does not belong there. Oh, my poor precious friend, if you go to hell, it's going to be because you belong there. It's been because the life you lived, the justice of God declares that you must go to hell. You're going to go there because you deserve to go there. You had an opportunity. You had many opportunities, but you let them pass you by. No power of wickedness, however great, will be able to escape from the trial of that day. No crime that's been concealed in this life will be concealed there. Oh, you'll face God's spiritual x-ray machine. Nothing's going to be concealed. Nobody's getting by with sin. Every man will get exactly his due, and no one will go to hell undeservingly, because every skeleton is going to come out of the closet. Every man will stand accountable to God. There'll be no second hearing. Nobody can say, I'm going to appeal. All the facts will be known, and every sin you commit is put down in this book of God's remembrance. At the judgment, the sinner must endure those penetrating eyes of our Lord as they search out the very secrets of your hearts. Oh, think about it. When the judge of all the earth, what are you going to do? I don't know of anything worse. I don't know of anything more tragic. It's when the books are open and your name's not there. You know the sad thing? There's a whole bunch of people thinking that their name's still in the book. That's what's going to be sad. Of all the people that's going to leave this world so deceived, and they think that their name's in the book of life, but it's not in the book of life. Just like Samson, who wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. He didn't even know that God left him. And all of a sudden he realizes, I don't have the power. I can't do anything. Here I am. My friend, if your name's not in that book, he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. What could be worse than that? What could be worse than that? Of all the things that could happen to me, of all the things that could happen to you, nothing could be worse than that. Depart from me. I never knew you. When you hear those words, that means all hope has died. Not the least bit of hope. No begging, no crying, no praying, no pleading can help us then. It's too late. This is a terrible thing. And I wish somehow I could get it across. What a terrible thing it is to go to the judgment unprepared to meet God. How sad that is. How terrible that is. When it doesn't have to be that way. Nobody here has to face the thing I'm talking about. Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:24, some men's sins are open beforehand, going to judgment. Some they follow after. You can send them on before. But if you don't, they're going to follow you. All them sin. Going to follow you to stand against you on the judgment. Then, my friend, this leads to the next thought. What would be worse than waking up in hell? What could be worse? What could happen to a human being that'd be worse than dying without God, losing your soul, going to the judgment unprepared to meet God, and then finding yourself in hell? I can't think. I thought about it today. As I thought about this message, what is it that can be worse than waking up in hell like the rich man? He woke up there. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember, you had a chance. You heard the gospel. You was privileged to feel the presence of God. You had an opportunity. You heard the message. You had a faithful man of God to preach the word of God. Dear Brother Decker, you don't have no excuse, friend. How did Judas feel? The one that had worked with the Savior. But the Bible said he went to his long home. Wonder how he felt when he woke up in hell. After carrying the money, after witnessing all that Christ did, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, opening up the deaf ears, casting out devils, causing the lame to walk, feeding the hungry multitude with a little boy's lunch, turning the water into wine, and many more things that the Bible doesn't talk about. But my friend, he ended up lost. You can go to church for a long time. You can be saved for a long time. You can sing in the choir. You can do lots of things. And then be lost in the end. The fires of hell burn so violent, all the waters in the sea could never put the fire out. If all the fires that ever were, ever shall be, was contracted into one fire, it'd be like a painted picture on the wall compared to what hell is going to be like. Fire burning is mentioned so frequently in the Word of God, so forcibly, we cannot ignore the fact of a literal burning lake of fire. If all the water was converted into ink and all the pen into stills, half the horrors of hell could never be portrayed. When you've been in hell 1 hour, you will suffer more than 10,000 tongues could ever tell. The pain and the misery of hell, the intense suffering. There's no possibility of sleeping, no possibility of fainting, no, not for a moment. It's a place of no escape. You can't get out. There's no place that says exit. All the roads that lead to hell, not one road leads out of there. I can imagine to suffer immeasurably without the hope of escape. It's more than my mind can fathom. I can't fathom. I can't stand the thoughts of it. I can't stand it anymore. It's too hot. I can't bear this pain. But you got to bear it. Nothing else. No hope of escape through death or any other means. Wishing to die and not being able to. It's unreasonable to assume there's an eternal heaven, not an eternal hell. Because eternal punishment is much as truth in God's word as the rewards of the righteous. As heaven, hell is one long eternal night. And after you've been there 10,000 years, look towards the future, all you can see is eternity, stretching on and on without any end. Somebody said, we're all saved. I hope we are. But I don't believe we are. I believe there's people here that need Jesus. I believe there's some here that's grown cold in their soul. I believe I'm talking to some people here, you are not where you once was. I think if you be honest with me, you've drifted. You've drifted from the place that you once was. I've often said, the devil ain't trying to get me to get drunk no more. He don't even tempt me to get drunk. He don't tempt me to smoke pot. He don't tempt me to go to the bars. He probably don't tempt you that way. But I tell you what, he's working to get us just to get a little lukewarm. Be at ease in Zion. Just drift along. You don't have to get drunk to go to hell. You don't have to commit adultery to go to hell. You don't have to leave your wife. You don't have to smoke cigarettes. Devil, he knows we ain't going to do that stuff. But he got something else he's got up his sleeve. Just go along with the crowd, just drifting along. And he said, I know your works. You're not hot, you're not cold, but I tell you what, you are lukewarm. And because of that, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I ain't tolerating it. God hates lukewarmness as much as he ever has. It's been a long time ago since he said that, but he hadn't changed his mind. He still hates it. I love you. You know what? My heart is burdened. I come to this pulpit with a burdened heart, not to hurt you, but to help you. What's happened to your experience? How long has it been since you came and testified? I don't know. I'm asking you, why don't you testify no more? Why don't you raise your hand? Used to testify. Because there's a time in your life you was close to God. Your prayer life was different than it is today, wasn't it? It was. You know what else? Your attendance to church used to be different than it is today. Is that right? That's right. You better watch out. Devil's already got a foot in your life. You know what? If you don't come back, the coldness in your soul is going to deepen. You're going to get further and further away from God. And if you're not careful, a spirit will get a hold of you. And you say, I'm okay. Some of you know you're not where you used to be. And I beg with you, come back. Your love has waxed cold. Something's happened. This that I've talked about is the worst thing that could happen to you. And we can have a sense of security. I go to the church of God. I listen to the message. But how is our relationship with God? And if you are not where you once was, let's do something about it. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for that soul-searching message that you've given us today. It reminds us our soul, that inner man that lives on the inside, is going to live on throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Friend, if your intention is to make heaven your home, you must prepare for it now, while you're living here in this life. 2 Corinthians 6:2, Paul tells us that now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Christ encourages you not to neglect this most important issue of life. Do it now. Do it today, while you have time and opportunity. Dear one, do you desire to find God and real salvation? but you need help? If so, would you please give Brother Decker a call at 740-404-5519. He is ready to help pray with you and see you find victory to live for God. That number to call again is 740-404-5519. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Or for any previous issues that you would like to have, please browse our website at godsacres.org. We invite you out to our services today. For transportation, you can call that same number, 740-345-1213. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school is at 9:30. Morning worship is at 10:45. Each evening at 5 o'clock, our youth services begin. Then at 6 o'clock is our evening worship service. This is Fred Barrows saying thank you for joining us here today. Hopefully this program has been a help and a blessing to each of you. Brother Decker would like to invite each of you to join us here again next week at the same time. So until then, may God bless you is our prayer.